Good day, my dear brothers and sisters. This is Father Blake Britton from St. Mary Catholic Church and School. Today, we will be reflecting on the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 51 through 59. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, Lord. Jesus said to the Jews, Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever keeps my word will never see death. So the Jews said to him, Now we are sure that you are possessed. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, Whoever keeps my word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? Or the prophets, who died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is worth nothing. But it is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. You do not know him, but I know him. And if I should say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid and went out of the temple area. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Today's reading represents the climax of John's Gospel, chapter 8. It is at this point when Jesus reveals himself, makes perfectly clear that he is not just a prophet. He is not just a miracle worker. He is not simply a good preacher or a loving teacher. He is much more than that. He is the God made flesh. St. John Chrysostom and St. Augustine will pick three specific sets of words, which Jesus uses in today's gospel, to highlight the Lord's revelation of himself as the Word made flesh, as the God walking among us. These three sets of words are, see death, my day, I am. See death, my day, I am. First, see death. We hear at the beginning of today's gospel, Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever keeps my word will never see death. Of course, when the Lord speaks about word, he is not talking about his preaching. What he's talking about is himself. Christ is the Word. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he tells us. I am the way that you enter into the depths of communion with the Father. Christ, the Word that he comes to give us, is not a set of teachings, but is himself. This is the unique genius of Christianity, that we do not merely follow the rules of a book or the set ethical teachings of some guru, but our religion is rooted in a living encounter with a someone, and this someone is alive, not just the mere memory of this someone, but the actual encounter with this person, and his name is Jesus Christ the Lord. So our encounter with that word, the Lord tells us, protects us from seeing death. Protects us from seeing death. In Greek, there are multiple ways to say the word life. Specifically, you have the word bios, which stands for biological life, and zoe, which stands for a deeper spiritual life, a life that flows from the very depths of our existence, of our being, of our soul. In the Gospel of John, Jesus does not use the word bios. He uses the word zoe. As a matter of fact, there are over 30 occurrences of the word Zoe used in the Gospel of John. When Jesus speaks about the life that he has come to give, he never uses the word bios. In today's gospel, when the Lord speaks about giving life, he does not mean simply a physical life, meaning like everlasting immortal life in a worldly sense. But the Lord comes to give something much more profound. He comes to give a life free of death, meaning that spiritual death. St. Augustine will say that Christ has come to conquer the fruits of death, meaning hell and eternal damnation. That Jesus himself has experienced the suffering of hell. This is what the crucifixion and the days in the tomb are all about. Christ's struggle for our salvation does not end with his death on the cross, but it continues thereafter. This is why we say in the Creed, I believe in one God, crucified under Pontius Pilate, who descended into hell. The Lord goes to war with the fruits and consequences of mortal sin, which is hell itself, complete and total separation from God. Jesus enters into that separation of his own free will in order to make that a means of communion with the Father. So when the Lord in today's gospel says, you will not see death, that's the kind of death that he's talking about. He's talking about that spiritual death. He's talking about this death that we can even experience nowadays in our current life. That's what mortal sin is. Mortal sin is this cutting ourselves, is this choosing something other than God, so cutting ourselves off from divine communion and choosing a grave matter of evil over the beauty and profundity of God's mercy and love for us. That is a spiritual death that we experience when we commit those kinds of sins. But the Lord has conquered that death through his own death, and this is why we have the possibility for reconciliation through the sacrament of penance. By going and confessing our sins, we are able to now take that which severed us from God and allow it to become a very avenue of communion with him. This is the beauty of God's divine mercy. So see death. When the Lord speaks about that in today's gospel, what he's referring to is the fact that he has come as the Messiah in order to conquer death at its root, the consequences of sin and death, which are separation from God, and to bring us back into reconciliation with the Heavenly Father. That word reconciliation, one of my favorite words, what it literally means is to go eyelash to eyelash. It's to be so intimate with the Father that your eyelashes are literally touching one another. That's why reconciliation is always a preface to adoration. The word adoration, ad ora, means mouth to mouth. It means to give this divine kiss. And so through reconciliation, we are now close enough to the Father to enter into adoration, into this divine intimacy. The second two words that are highlighted by St. John Chrysostom and St. Augustine are my day, my day. We hear the Lord in today's gospel say that Abraham longed to see my day. In order to really appreciate what the Lord's saying here, we'd have to go back to the book of Genesis chapter 22. This is the story of Abraham offering up as a sacrifice his son Isaac. In my opinion, one of the most beautiful writings of the ancient church come from Origen, who was a church father, and his commentary on the book of Genesis, chapter 22. And Origen mentions how Abraham and Isaac are a type, are a symbol of the Heavenly Father and his son, Jesus Christ. That just as Abraham had to ascend that mountain to sacrifice his own son, so the Heavenly Father accompanies his son Jesus Christ up to the Mount of Golgotha. His heart wrenched and broken the whole time. He places his own son upon the cross, allows his son to be offered up. And if you note in the book of Genesis chapter 22, Isaac carries the wood that he is going to be sacrificed upon himself. It is placed upon his shoulders, just as Jesus carries on his own shoulders the cross. And so when the Lord speaks about my day, he is directly alluding to the book of Genesis chapter 22. And indeed, he's alluding to the entirety of the Abraham story. The fact that the day that Abraham was looking forward towards, was desiring to witness, was the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. My day is the crucifixion. This is the day that Abraham longed to see. For Abraham understood that his son Isaac was merely a symbol, was merely a sign of a greater sacrifice to come. And now Christ has come as this new Isaac, as this purified lamb of sacrifice for the sake of salvation of souls. That is the day that the Lord is referring to. This is the God who has come to dwell among us, and through that sacrifice, we will not see death, but rather have everlasting life. In the third set of words that St. John Chrysostom and St. Augustine highlight in their homilies on today's gospel is that powerful phrase, before Abraham came to be, I am. It is difficult for us to understand the seriousness of Jesus using this phrase. Namely, because we ourselves as a society have lost the sense of the divine name. How often, how many times a day do we or others use the name of the Lord in vain? We used to have a little bit more of a consciousness about saying the name of God so freely, but nowadays we just speak it on a regular basis as if he's not even a real person. Well, in this time, especially in the Jewish mind, no one was allowed to say I am. This was a sacred word forbidden by the laity to speak freely. It could only be spoken in very specific liturgical and ritualistic context. And yet here's Jesus in the temple area saying, I am, uttering the divine name. And not only does he utter the divine name outside of a proper liturgical or ritualistic context, but he utters it claiming to be the divine name made flesh. Here, once again, my brothers and sisters, is the real root of Christianity's genius, the real root of what distinguishes our religion from every other religion in the world. Our religion is a radical claim that our God is not just an old man with a beard sitting in the clouds watching our life pass by. Our God is made flesh. Our God is human. Just as much as he is divine, fully human and fully divine, says the Council of Chalcedon. That our God is one who has united himself absolutely with us in every way except sin. And yet, he takes that sin onto himself, as St. Paul will say later on. He who became sin for us, although he was sinless, he associates himself with every single manner of brokenness that we could possibly experience, and unites it to the Sacred Heart, and offers it as a sacrifice of love to the Father, thus opening the way of salvation for every single human person. This is the God that we believe in, the great I Am. He is not this super transcendent, distant, dominating figure. He is an intimate, loving, merciful, compassionate Savior. One who walks in our midst. This is also why he gave us the Eucharist. The Eucharist is a sharing in the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ the Lord. It is to share in the divine life. Through the Eucharist, the Lord does not disassociate himself with us, but rather enters intimately into the very depths of our being. And that entering into also means that he shares in our sufferings, in any heartbreaks that you're going through at this very moment, and any fears or anxieties, Christ is feeling those as well. He's not a stranger to those emotions, but he's taking them on willingly so that he may walk with you. He is Emmanuel, God with us. So my dear brothers and sisters, as we conclude today's reflection, let us firstly ask, Lord, give us more than just a physical, superficial, animalistic life. Lord, we long to have Zoe, not Bios. We don't just want to have a physical life, Lord. We long for a deep spiritual life, a life of profound richness in the depths of our heart, a life that is worth living and full of purpose and reason. And of course, that life can only be lived with Christ. Let us also ask the Lord for the eyes to see his day. Lord, help me not to degradate the dignity of your crucifixion. Help me never to forget how amazing it is that you died for us. That you raised upon the cross is the perfect sign of hope for every single human being. And finally, let us ask for the grace to know Christ as the great I Am made flesh. Lord Jesus, may I not know you just as a teacher, may I not know you just as a friend, may I not know you just as some guru or instructor or nice guy. Jesus, may I know you as you truly are. You are God. You are my creator. You are my origin. You are the one who gives me life and allows me to breathe at this very second. Lord Jesus, I love you. From the depths of my heart, I cry out to you, for you are the great I Am made flesh. And how beautiful it is, O Lord, that you are not a stranger unto me.